Good morning. Welcome to Crossing. We're glad you're with us on this wonderful rainy Sunday, cold weather in Texas. It's here. Whether you like it or not, it's here. So it'll change if you don't like it. So don't worry. It's just part of life. But we're excited that you're with us here today on this holiday weekend. We're excited about what God is doing. You know, our heart, our mission is to become a disciple that makes disciples of Christ. And the vision is to plant churches all throughout the U.S. and abroad. And that's just the heart God's given us. And we've already started with the Crossing Español and Movement Church. And we're just excited in Salina here as well about what God is doing. And so we know that God is on a mission. And our mission is to become a disciple. Love Him with all our heart, mind, and soul. Love our neighbor as ourselves. And then, you know what? Make disciples in the great commandment by going into all the world and making disciples, teaching them to obey the commands of the Lord. That's what it's all about. That's our mission, that's our vision, that's who we are. We're wrapping up a series on blessed. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be in several different places today. I'll start out in Proverbs 13, but if you would like to follow along in the YouVersion app, if you have your tablet or device in the YouVersion, which is the Bible app, you can look under that. Under the More tab, you'll see where it says Live Events. If you go to Live Events, you'll see the Crossing Church. You'll see Blessed, the series Blessed. You can click along and follow all of the notes today so you can kind of know where I'm going. So as I say often, you can either A, follow along, or B, know when I'll be done. So it makes everybody happy, all right? We follow that process. But we're in this series. We're actually wrapping the series today called Blessed. And really tackling the question, what does it mean to be blessed? You know, we hear it all the time. I'm a blessed to be a blessing. I'm thankful. I'm blessed. You know, we're just blessed. Well, what does that mean? What is the meaning behind it? Because when you look at it, the word blessed, Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 5, he gave what we know as the Beatitudes. And they are what? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the weak. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the humble. And you go through all these blessings. But what does it mean to truly be blessed? And really answering the question, how do we make the Beatitudes our attitude? Well, the way we do that is to understand where blessings come from and how blessings are happening in your life. And the reality is all of you have blessings happening to you on a daily basis, yet you just often don't see them as a true blessing. And we've really unpacked that over the last few weeks to give us a better understanding. In Hebrew, the word blessed means assured, which means happiness. In Greek, it's makaros, which means a state of happiness. So understanding blessings is not just something that happens to you. It's something that happens in you. It's living in a state of blessings. But how do we make them our attitude? Well, understand that blessings come through trials. That was week one. And if you'd like to listen to these in that app, you'll see where it says listen. You can go back and hear the rest of these sermons as well. But we're blessed through trials. Week two, we talked about how we're blessed through scarcity. You know what? When we understand that He is our source. Number three, we talked about how we're blessed through perseverance. And perseverance is an attitude. And our attitude directly affects our perseverance and how we move forward. And then today, we're going to talk about how we are blessed through hope. Now, the word hope is interesting because the word hope means it's a happy anticipation of good things. Now, when we think of hope, what do we often think of? A wish. I hope that will happen. I hope we do this. I hope this happens. But the true meaning behind it is not anticipation. Instead, it's a I wish this will happen, but it may not. Because in life, we set ourselves up for disappointments. Let's be real. Do you remember how you were as a child? Do you remember a kid at Christmas? Everybody remember the kid at Christmas? Like, you are waiting. Santa's real, right? Everything's real. And Mandy's not in here, right? Okay, I'm good. All right, because if you get on the Santa subject, it gets really rough in our house. But everything is so real. It's so true. You know, you're like, oh, I can't wait. There's this anticipation of what's going to happen. When you ask for something, it's going to happen. We were driving down the road the other day, and Harrison asked for a big gift. He said, this is what I would like. And Eli goes, Harrison, that is so crazy. That is so expensive. How would you ask for that? He goes, it's not my money. It's Santa's. I'm like, okay, all right, you know, you're going to learn who Santa is one day, son, you know. But the reality of it behind this is what? Is that there's an anticipation of what is real, an anticipation of what is good. I want this. I need this. It's there. But yet in life, when disappointments come, we set ourselves up for them and say, all right, I'm not going to be disappointed anymore. I'm not going to be frustrated anymore because I'm just going to look for it on the negative end. If it doesn't happen, I'm good. It doesn't bother me, right? But yet what that does, it takes away the element of hope. It takes away the element of surprise, of anticipation of what it's going to be. And when you look at and hope in the Bible, it's a state of happiness. The word blessed is, but it's a blessed what? Of hope. It's an anticipation that I believe it will come to pass. It's not of it might or it could. It's it will come to pass. It's an anticipation. You see, as long as we live, you and I are always going to be headed somewhere and anticipating something. So what will we be anticipating? Is it the things that God has for us, the good things? Or are we going to be anticipating the negative? You see, God created us as goal-oriented visionaries. And without vision, people become bored and hopeless. Proverbs 29:18 tells us that without vision, people perish. What does that mean? Without hope. Without desire, without seeing something beyond ourselves, we become hopeless. We have no anticipation, no self-worth, nothing worth living for. You see, God wants us to live by his hope so we can enjoy life. Therefore, when we anticipate the goodness of God in our lives, it opens the door to a greater happiness. So what does that mean? When you are seeking greater things, when you're hoping in the great things that God has for you, it literally gives an anticipation inside of you that allows happiness to come out of you. That makes sense? Yeah, kind of, maybe. But when you think about it, everything changes because there is an anticipation of great things. So what are you aggressively hoping God for? What are you hoping for? What are you hoping that God will do for you? Proverbs 13 says this. This is the premise behind where we're going. But it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But a dream fulfilled is the tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. What does that mean? Well, what is hope deferred? It's a wish. I'm just hoping it will happen. I don't know if it will. I don't believe that it will. It's just, I hope it happens. And that's where we live. And literally, Scripture's saying that it makes a heart sick because you have nothing worth living for. You have no hope in life. It's just hopeless of, well, I hope it happens. And you live in this constant state of struggle, this constant state of loneliness, this constant state of sadness. And you're missing out on the happiness of God. You serve an amazing God. Amen? That should make you happy. You serve a God that's alive, not dead. Amen? That's something to be excited about. It's not just, well, I serve God. Praise the Lord. I mean, sometimes as Christians, we can be some of the most miserable people, right? You know what I'm saying. You know, how you do it? Oh, bless God. It's just, oh, it's been hard. It's been rough. But, Lord, I'm blessed. Amen. It's like, yeah, I can sense that. I'd like to be that way too myself, right? That's just contagious. I really want that. I mean, what would happen if we actually show the excitements? Why? Because we lose the anticipation. We lose that kid at Christmas, that kid in a candy shop of something good is going to happen. And I believe it. You know, when you go into a situation and you expect great things, what can happen? Great things. If you're expecting negative, what usually happens? Negative. And I hope deferred, but it says, but a dream fulfilled is the tree of life. It's once you begin to believe, once you begin to see what God has for you, everything begins to spring open. Your vision, your literally the way you see things changes. You don't see things through a microscopic way, but you can zoom out and see the course of life. You can see the meaning behind what you are looking through. You see, you're not going to be happy if you don't have hope. And the more hope you have in God, the happier you can become. Simple principles, nothing eye-opening, but yet it's something that's often not lived out. You see, hope is being convinced that you can trust in God, that he will make the best out of any circumstance you face. Look at 2 Timothy 1. It says, that is why I'm suffering here in prison. I'm not ashamed of it, for I know whom I trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted him. Until the day of his return. Look at the NIV. It says, this is why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame because I know whom I have believed. And am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted him until that day. I remember growing up, my mom and dad singing a song, an old hymn. You may know it. I know whom I have believed in. Remember that one? And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And I remember singing that song and not even realizing what it means. But let's just think about where Paul is. Paul's in prison, all right? Not necessarily a great situation, but he's in the midst of a difficult situation. He's in prison. Things are not going his way, but he's saying, you know what? I'm convinced of something. I'm convinced that my God is my God, that my God is alive. I'm convinced that I can trust in him. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep all that I'm going through for the true purpose of what? Against that day. What does that mean? To hold it against that day. It's the blessed hope. It's understanding that this goes beyond him. It's moving beyond his point, his thought, his plans. But the reality is, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of trials, in the midst of tribulation and struggles in our life, we often forget who we trust in. Simply put, we forget that when we're wandering, we have a shepherd that is there to watch out for us. I was talking with Jim Warner. He's one of my mentors and a good friend of mine. We were sitting down the other day and we were talking about this concept and what it means and just the struggles of life. And he was sharing with me a good friend of his that just was in Israel. And he said, while they were in Israel, he said, they saw this shepherd with the sheep. And he was talking to the shepherd, asking them, you know, how do you get these sheep to follow you everywhere you go? You're the shepherd. How do they follow you? What do you do? They just naturally do this. And he says, well, here's what we do. He said, most of them will follow in line with the actual herd. But inevitably, there will always be some that decide they want to wander and do their own thing. He said, usually it's at a young age. And at a young age, when they wander, he said, we will take that sheep, that little lamb, and break one of its legs. And then we'll carry that lamb on our shoulders and nurse that lamb back to health. And when we do that, he said, that lamb will never leave our side again. It will follow us everywhere we go because it knows that it was hurt, but now it's walking and it's healthy and he knows who he can trust. Because if we don't do that, that one lamb can wander and lose its life. And I get me to think about that in life. And Jesus is the good shepherd. And he carries us on his shoulders. In life, Jesus said, you will face difficulties. He didn't say you might. He didn't say you could. He said you will. You will face difficulty. But he said, take heart, because I have overcome the world. So he tells us that he is the good shepherd that will overcome. He will guide you as long as you look to him and follow him. But yet there are times in life where we get hurt. And yet he's there to pick us up and to carry us through whatever we are facing. When you look at scripture, so many times you can see this process laid out. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, give you a hope and a future. What's so great about that passage is, in Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah was prophesying to the people gloom, doom, and destruction. Jeremiah was telling them, we are going into 70 years of captivity in Babylon. Life's going to be terrible. He was not a popular man, okay? And yet in the middle of this, Jeremiah said, here's the Lord speaking to him and says, God has great plans in store. And they were looking to what? A Messiah, a hope. The Messiah was coming. The Savior of the world was coming. In Psalms 37, you see David, we read a portion of it. He was in the depths of despair. He was in a moment of saying, everyone around me, it's not fair how they're getting what they want, but I'm going to delight in the Lord. I'm going to trust in the Lord, and he's going to order my steps. I'm going to know. But he's in a crybaby moment. Let's just call it what it is. He's mad. But yet in the end, he's saying what? My hope is in the Lord. My hope is in him. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, we see the story of Nehemiah. They had rebuilt the wall. And they're all celebrating. The young are celebrating, saying, look what we've done. But yet the old were weeping. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, they were weeping so loud, they were overpowering those who were celebrating. Because the wall was built, but those who had been before said, look what we've caused. Our disobedience has caused this destruction. And they were weeping. And in Nehemiah chapter 8, Nehemiah stops him. He says, stop. Recognize that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Do you know what he was reminding them of? The Messiah. The hope. The very joy you have inside of you comes from a hope that there's something greater than you. The very joy you have comes from the hope that knowing that even though your situation may look dim, even though your situation may look bad, there is hope for you. There is hope for this lost world. I mean, you watch the news, you talk about depressing. It can bring you down quick. I mean, you look at politics and you say, dear God, pray for our country. Amen. Well, I thought that'd be a loud one. But we need prayer. And we could look at that and say, we're doomed. We're doomed. Or we could say, no, I know whom I believed in. I'm persuaded. I'm convinced he is going to take care of us. My hope, my anticipation is that great things are coming from him. You see, hope believes everything is going to turn out all right. Hope is positive. Because ultimately we have the blessed hope. In Titus chapter 2. It talks about the blessed hope. It says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, uprightly, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for what? The blessed hope. Appearing of our glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and purify him for himself, a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. The blessed hope. The greatest hope you have is that Jesus is coming back. Yeah, amen. In the midst of all this junk going on, we have hope. There are people who live this world with no hope because they don't see that there is coming a Savior. They don't know in the one who can help them in their difficult times. They don't have hope. All they see is sickness. All they see is despair. All they see is relationships tattered. All they see is dysfunction. They don't see hope in Jesus. They don't see hope in life. We have hope. What does that mean? It doesn't mean we wish that God is going to return. We anticipate the returning of Jesus Christ to come back to us and save us and resurrect us and take us to heaven. Amen? We anticipate that. Yeah. Yeah, give him praise. We anticipate that. But what we know is that life brings difficulties. Life brings struggles. And what we do is we lose the anticipation of a kid. We lose the anticipation of something great. Instead, we just wish good things will happen. We stop hoping for it and believing for it, and we miss out. Because hope is an anticipation that it will come to pass. You see, this morning, I woke up and the Lord put this on my mind. I had this dream. And in this dream, I could see that my life was like a large rubber band. And I could literally see my life as a whole as a rubber band. And then I could see pockets of it. Like, I remembered points of my life where this was a tension point. And then this was a tension point. And then this was a tension point. And God began to speak to me, and he began to share with me that all of us go through life in different tension points of life. There's stresses in life that you have, right? Some of you feel like this thing just can't be stretched far enough, right? Because stress and strain are a force in every one of our lives. And I begin thinking about this, and I'm like, Lord, what does this mean? And he kept showing me that when you're stretched, it's at the maximum stretch where the greatest things can happen. And I'm like, what is that called? What is it called, the greatest stretch? You know, science was never my strongest subject. And physics, you know, we just didn't go well together. So I start Googling like we all did. And I start reading like, what does this mean? Like, what is that point? This day and age, you can just Google it and it happens. But this time it didn't. I'm like, what is that point called? Nothing. So I had to start reading into what is that called? And what I begin to understand is that there's different types of energy. So those of you with science that love this, yes, we understand this. Those of you like me, this can be really cool. But inside of this before this is released, it's what? It's potential energy. Every one of us have potential. But potential untapped is just what? Potential. That's not a trick question. Potential is potential. One of the greatest compliments and one of the worst compliments can be is you have a lot of potential. That's a good thing of saying we see greatness, but you're not there yet. So if you've heard that, I'm sorry. But this potential is only potential energy until it's released. But the moment that potential energy is released, it's no longer potential energy. It's now kinetic energy, which is the movement of motion. The boys want to know why I was buying a rubber band today, and we've been studying this. And Eli goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm teaching on potential and kinetic energy. He goes, at church? I said, yeah. And he goes, kinetic energy is the movement of motion. I said, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, science is getting into you. But we have this potential energy. Every one of you have potential in your life. Without stretching, you have no ability to move. Without stretching, without tension in your life, you have no ability to move forward. You're simply just an object at rest. But the moment stretching and tension begins to take place in your life, you now have potential to move forward. The moment you become blessed through trials, the moment you become blessed through scarcity, the moment you become blessed through perseverance, is the moment you take on potential to move forward. Without the stretching, you're simply an object at rest. But if you want to move forward in your life, you're going to have to realize there's tension that takes place. Literally, when they do these studies in science, the two axes that they use, the forces they use, are stress and strain. That's how they do their tests, the stress and strain. So you have to understand the stress and strain on your life is the ability for you to move forward. You look at it as pain. You look at it as discomfort. You look at it as something you do not like or want to face. But yet God's saying in this, that's why I tell you, consider it joy in James chapter 1 when you go through trials and tribulations. Why? It's a testing and perfecting of your faith. That was week one. Remember that? Remember that? We talked about that, didn't we? That's why Jesus said, man cannot serve God or money. You love one or hate the other, for out of the heart, you know what? Your heart, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Why? Because he's asking you, who is your source? Do you trust me? There's that tension. There's that tension. We don't like that tension talking about money, but do you trust him? If you want to move forward in scarcity, if you want to move forward in God, you got to understand he's your source. That perseverance, that attitude, woo! That attitude, we don't like talking about the attitude. But if you want to grow, you've got to have what? An attitude that reflects Christ. You've got to learn to be patient. And in this situation, you've got to learn to hope. But here's what was so interesting when I was studying this. In potential and kinetic energy, there's a point. And this was the most interesting. This was what I could see. I could see this rubber band, and I was kind of frustrated. I'm like, God, if you're going to show this to me, why don't you just give me like the full illustration? But I had to go study through it because I want to know, what is that point? What is that point right before it breaks that it can go the farthest? And I started studying, and they called it elastic energy. In elastic energy, there's what's called an elastic limit. It's also known, you ready for this? The yield point. At its greatest stretch of any elastic situation is what's known as a yield point. The yield point is the point where it stretched the farthest before it can go, be released into the greatest kinetic energy. In your life, some of you are stretched beyond your point that you thought you could. But what God's doing is he's stretching you. He's stretching you to a yield point. He says, I want you to go as far as you can go. And right now you think, it's going to break. It's going to break, isn't it? Everybody's giving me some weird eyes right now. But watch. When you stretch it as far as it can go, you have the greatest opportunity to go farthest. But there's a yield point there. You've got to be willing to yield to the Holy Spirit. You've got to be willing to yield to the Lord. But the reason so many of you fall short, the reason so many of you never attain what God has, because one, you're not willing to be stretched. You maintain an object at rest because it's comfortable. But in that comfort, you move nowhere. In order for you to be where God wants you to be all that He's called you to be, created you to be, you've got to be willing to be stretched to the yield point where you say, okay, enough is enough, right? And have you noticed something in life? You start out smaller, don't you? That yield point's not very good. But then over time, it gets a little bigger. I can handle a little bit more. And I look back on my life, and even in here in this church, and I was thinking about this journey we've had here at the Crossing and how when I started out, my yield point was not very big. I remember thinking, we're done, Lord, done. Whoo, that hurt. We're good. But then He stretched me a little bit more and He moved us forward. And I was like, we're good. We're not going to make it. And then we moved forward. And now here we are again. Can I just be transparent with you? This journey has been the highest of highs and the lowest of lows. There are days, you say, as you say in life, there are days even in the journey of this church where I've been like, God, I can't believe we get to do this. And then there are days we're saying, God, I can't believe we're doing this. You know what I mean? You know where God wants you? He wants you at the point really where you're saying, I can't believe we're doing this. Because you know why? At that moment, you realize you're not. At your yield point, you realize you can't fix your problem. At your yield point, you realize you don't have all the answers. At your yield point, you realize I cannot make it without Him. At your yield point, you realize you're blessed. That's when you understand you're blessed. Because you cannot make it on your own. You will fall. We read it in Psalms 37. It says they will stumble and fall, but He will deliver you. He's going to move you forward. You think you're broken. You think that's fixing to pop. But He's saying, no, I'm taking your potential and I'm putting you in motion. So where are you today? Are you at rest? Are you an object that's simply at rest? Or have you discovered who God is? Are you willing to yield to Him? Just close your eyes today and reflect on that. Maybe you're here and you do not know Christ. You've not accepted Him in your life. You've been stretched, but you didn't realize there was someone there to yield to. You didn't know what a yield point was. And yet today, God is calling you to yield to Him. We don't ever want to close the service without giving you an opportunity to yield to the Lord and experience His love for you. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, maybe you've accepted Him and you've walked away, but the Lord is speaking to you this morning saying, come back. I want to give you that opportunity. If you're here today and you need Jesus in your life, with no one looking around, just make eye contact with me right now. I want to pray with you where you are. You said, I've never accepted Him, or I need to rededicate to Him today. Amen. Anyone else? Say, I want to rededicate my life to Him, or I want to accept Him as my Savior. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Yielding to the Lord today. Yielding to Him. Amen. Anyone else? Do you yield to the Spirit? He's speaking to you. Amen. Let's pray. If you're one of the ones that responded today, then let that be your prayer, what the Lord is saying. But if you have accepted Him, then let it be a reminder. We want to all say it together, not to single anybody out, but those of you that responded today, make this your prayer. Let's pray together as one. Say, Dear Jesus, I come to You today, and I ask You to forgive me of my sins. I believe that You died for me, and today I choose to live for You. I yield to You, Lord. In Jesus' name.